you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
I'm Tracy Thomas, host of One for the Books, a live literary event series from LAist. We are back with guests, author Amanda Montell, and actor Bella Lavelle. You can find us on May 15th at the Crawford Family Forum. Tickets at laist.com/events.
It's Film Week on 89.3 KPCC. I'm John Horn in for Larry Mendel this week, and so glad to have you with us. The joke about Sparks, if you've even heard of them, is that it's the best British band to come out of America. That confusion is why Edgar Wright, the director of Baby Driver and Shaun of the Dead, wanted to make his first documentary about the group, headed by brothers Ron and Russell Mayall. Quite simply, Wright was tired of explaining who the band was and why he loves them. His documentary, called The Sparks Brothers, premiered at this year's Sundance Film Festival. I talked with Wright after its premiere there, and I started by asking him about his own connection to the band.
Well, I think in a way they were a bit of an ongoing riddle for me for a large portion of my life. I saw them first on TV when I was 5 years old. So I wouldn't necessarily, I mean, I liked music, but like I'm not sure at 5 years old you would say, hey, I'm a music fan. But I would watch Top of the Pops every week, which was the big music show in the UK that, you know, I think like a third of the country were watching it when it was on, when there used to be three channels. So I remember Sparks on Top of the Pops because they really stood out from the other acts. Because like if you had another act that seemed like desperate to be liked, like ABBA, who were all smiles and like dancing and kind of like grinning their way through the performance. And Sparks are sort of a different proposition, slightly intimidating, especially Ron Mayall like staring down the camera at you. And I know for a lot of people, and the documentary proves this, is that the image of Sparks on TV at that time was something that really stuck with people and, you know, influenced a lot of artists. But I just thought, like, who are these guys on the TV who are, like, sort of beguiling and ever so slightly intimidating as well?
Frequently asked questions about Sparks. Who are Sparks?
We are Sparks.
What are Sparks?
Sparks are a band.
Are you a real band?
Next question.
Are you an English band?
We are not an English band.
Dude.
What do you play?
I'm the singer.
I'm not the singer.
Are you identical twins?
We are not identical twins.
How many Sparks albums are there?
There are 25 Sparks albums.
How many Sparks albums will there be?
With advances in medical technology, hopefully there will be 200 to 300 more Sparks albums.
You have always made narrative films. This is your first documentary. And first of all, I have to thank your editor, who must have made 10,000 cuts. I have no idea how many edits are in this film. It's mind-boggling. But when you are working in a documentary field and you are a visual storyteller and you have archival footage, at what point do you realize that you have to find out other ways to tell the story visually, using animation, using recreations, whatever it is? And how much of that was a creative challenge for you?
It wasn't a creative challenge as much as it was a gift. I mean, they had done an animated music video for their, not their last album, but the one prior to that. And they're obviously very visual. So animation seemed like a fun thing to do for interludes. And obviously, there are some bits where there are no photos and there is no footage. There's a great anecdote about Russell Mayall injuring himself during an early gig by throwing like a fairground mallet up in the air and it splitting his head open. Now, obviously, there's no footage of that. So it's like that's an obvious kind of place for some animation. So that was really fun. I mean, we had this footage of a 1975 concert where there are a lot of young female stage invaders like clambering onto the stage and like pulling Russell Mayall down onto the floor or latching onto Ron. And, you know, we have an interview with Ron and Russell. We also, Tony Visconti, who mixed that concert, is also one of the interviewees. Nick Hayward, who's in the band Haircut 100, happened to be in the audience. And then through social media, we put the word out as soon as it was announced that we were doing it. I put the word out and so did Spark, saying, hey, we're making this documentary. If you have any footage or photos or even a story, contact this email. So we got a ton of stuff through that, things that Ron and Russell had never seen, things that, like, the Sons of TV Directors in Germany says, oh, my dad has this 35 mil can from a Sparks thing he shot, hasn't been seen in, like, you know, 50 years. Also, one of the women, now in her late 50s, who was the stage invader, got in touch, wrote this amazing kind of, like, email about her story. And I said to my producer, George Henkin, I said, we should get her to tell that story on camera, which we did. And so you know you've got this amazing thing. And you
well,
also...
and she's in the footage. I mean, she's like 15 years old, and she goes up and I think she hugs Ron as he's playing piano.
And then the roadie that pulls her off is Richard Coble, who happens to be one of the biggest tour managers in the world because he's the Rolling Stones tour manager now. That was his first ever gig as a roadie for Sparks. So then to put together this kind of like multi POV like sort of narrative on just one stage invasion one night, that was just like a gift, an absolute gift.
These are two guys who grew up in Los Angeles that went to UCLA. There's a great story about their mom driving them as younger kids to Las Vegas to see the Beatles. They're jokingly called the best British band that ever came out of America. And it's hard to place them in Los Angeles, but Los Angeles is clearly a big part of their lives.
You wouldn't think that Sparks were like kind of like surf bums, but in fact they were. Like in Pacific Palisades, lying on the beach surfing all day and listening to kind of like sort of pop music. Like all day, and they said that was extremely formative. I mean, the thing that's funny to me, and one of the things that I hope this documentary does, is that I feel like Sparks like deserve to be Los Angeles rock royalty, and the only thing that's been holding them back is people think that they're not from California, or they're like dumbfounded when they find out they are. I mean, even like when I first got in contact with them, you know, Sparks in my head were sort of these enigmatic geniuses that, like, they were like the J.D. Salingers of rock. It's like, you don't hang out with Sparks for real. Like, I'm not even sure they're on planet Earth. But the first time I ever got in contact with them, I was in Los Angeles myself, writing Baby Driver, in fact, and I was in the office and I was playing my friend tons and tons of Sparks. We were on a bit of a Sparks marathon. Sort of the reason I made the documentary is so I wouldn't have to explain to my friends anymore how much I love Sparks. I could just have this film instead. And anyway, I thought, I wonder if Sparks are on Twitter. So I looked at Twitter and I didn't follow Sparks. I found their account and it said, Sparks follows you. So I was like, oh my God. So I sent them a direct message and Russell responded immediately. And I was like, oh, most bands have like a PR person that handles their account. He goes, not us. So it's like, and then he's like, where are you? I said, I'm in Los Angeles. Like, we're in Los Angeles too. And it's at that moment, the world becomes much smaller. It's like, wait, these guys only are a 20-minute drive away from me right now. So within 24 hours, I was having breakfast with them in Beverly Hills.
Let me ask this last question. You love to use song cues in your films. I don't know because I didn't go look. Have you ever used a Sparks song in any of your films?
No, and I'll tell you why. I tried to once. I tried to use a Sparks song, This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us, probably their most famous song, in Hot Fuzz. But here's the thing I discovered, and this is why I think Sparks are not on many soundtracks. Sparks cannot be audio wallpaper. Like, the songs are sort of too epic and the lyrics are sort of too evocative. They're not easy songs to just have on in the background. So I found when I put it on this scene, it worked pretty well for a bit. But at a certain point, especially as a fan, I found myself listening to the song and not paying attention to what was going on in the scene. So if Sparks haven't been in my films, it's because Sparks cannot easily be ignored. But Sparks are not background music. Now we're trapped in
the world of our dreams. My thanks to director Edgar Wright. His new documentary, The Sparks Brothers, is in theaters now. I'm John Horn. Larry Mantle is back next week.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based
fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.